joke. I'd like to buy the world a token, teach the world to sing in perfect harmony, and teach the world to snuff the fires and the liars. Hey, I know it's just a song, but it's fast for the recipe. This is a love attack. I know it, our body's back. It's just like any fat, it retracts before impact. And just like fashion, it's a passion for the wizard and hip. If you got the goods, they'll come and buy it just to stay in the click. So don't delay, act now, supplies are running out. Allow it, you're still alive, 6 to 8 years to arrive. And if you follow the make, we are tomorrow. But if we are the shine, you might as well be walking on the sun.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number 3 of the most thrilling 3 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. My very special guest is Suzanne Posel, and also I wanted to reiterate and remind the listenership that this is a show funded by you, and if you want it to continue, then please go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and make a donation, either a once-off or start up an automatic payment of some kind. I've been doing this for quite a number of years. With your support, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that more is needed. You will hear interviews on the show that you probably won't hear anywhere else, and it won't be done with the free thinking and free speaking non-interrupted structure that you should have come to enjoy thus far. In this world, there will be marketers who want your money to enrich themselves. I want your money so that I can enrich your mind, and mine, and everybody else's, so that we can be protected by the psych warfare tools and scumbaggery of the New World Order, for which we are all under the thumb currently. Please support me. I implore you. I'm doing a very, very important service for the people of this world, and if you support that, support me, and I will not let you down. Suzanne, welcome back.
Thank you.
What was it you wanted to talk about now? Something about the UN thinking that old people are a drain on the economy?
Oh, we can get into that. But I think, first off, let's talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So I found something extremely interesting. Now, okay, we all know that the bankers make money off of everything, okay? But here's how they do it. And that's what I'm interested in. That's what I was talking about before we went to the commercial break. This is how they do it. And that's important that we understand what might seem like minute details. Because if we know how they do it, then we can recognize it later on when it happens again, and we don't have to fall for it. Then we can make a conscious decision about whether or not we're going to participate in our own tyranny. So Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan Chase, and a bunch of other groups, Fannie Mae, have gotten together and extended financial kickbacks for government service. So Bank of America stuck one of their investment bankers and paid him $9 million in bonuses with $5.1 million in incentives to work for the International Trade Office of the Department of Commerce. That's a lot of money. And they're not going to just dump all of that money on something that's not going to make them a huge return. So this gentleman from Bank of America is strategically placed in the Department of Commerce so that he can affect his corporate sponsors' decisions regarding the Trans-Pacific Partnership and how it is implemented once it's agreed upon and signed. Citigroup is offering executive contracts for full-time, high-level positions with the U.S. government or regulatory body. And I think, Vinny, this is comical to me. I did not know that Citigroup had the authority to offer a civilian a part in our U.S. government or employment in a regulatory body supported by our U.S. government. That I didn't know that banks had that kind of power, but apparently they do. a gentleman from Citigroup who is a banker and current representative for the U.S. Trade Office, or the U.S. Trade Commission, has been given more than $4 million to join the Obama administration while receiving millions in investment funds, kickbacks for stuff that he's already invested money in. They're assuring that he's getting returns on those prior investments while handing him $4 million to sit in his chair so that he can make sure that the Trans-Pacific Partnership goes well for Citigroup. I don't know about you, Vinny, but this is...
I recall seeing an article just very recently saying that there were a bunch of bankers who were indeed given bonuses or golden handshakes or something of this nature for their support of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That's not what you're talking about, though, is it?
That's part of it, absolutely. You know, we hear about that. That's something that I'd like to point out. We hear about this topical information. The bankers are receiving kickbacks or golden handshakes in order to get their agenda through. But here's exactly how they're doing it. Citigroup is talking to executives and saying, hey, look, we'll give you a contract to work for the U.S. government or a U.S. government regulatory body, and we'll go ahead and get everything started for you. All you have to do is take the position. Or Bank of America says to their top investment banker, hey, look, we'll give you $9 million plus $5.1 million in incentives, and all you have to do is take a seat at the Department of Commerce. This is how they do it. And it's important. It's just like the executive of Monsanto, Michael Taylor, now becoming the head of the FDA. It's important. That is the reality. You can talk about the suppositions and all of the theories all day long if you want. But the simple fact remains, Michael Taylor is head of the FDA. And that means everything that the FDA is doing when it comes to issues that Monsanto is concerned about, they're going to go with whatever Monsanto needs or wants, what's lucrative for Monsanto. And that's why the FDA is so screwed up. It's just like Donald Rumsfeld arguing after he worked for Searle Corporation, arguing for the approval of aspartame and getting it. It's the same deal when Donald Rumsfeld went to speak with Saddam Hussein and sold him chemical weapons of mass destruction, mustard gas. And then that mustard gas happened to magically make its way through Libya and into the hands of Assad, or allegedly. Close enough. Close enough for people to report on it and make it look that way, and close enough for people to believe it. Isn't it funny how it's always the same thing? It's the same mustard gas that's been traveling through, being used as, oh no, this government has chemical weapons of mass destruction and we have to go in there and intervene. Oh, here, I mean, I hate to beat the drum of the Ukraine again, but here, we have to have an intervention in Ukraine. Look at all these people dying. The government has to go in there and step in. So how they're putting together this Trans-Pacific Partnership is extremely important. I know that the information is limited, and there's a lot of whirling dervish kind of garbage swirling around it, and that will keep you going for years and decades. And if you get on that train and you realize that you're on that train, you can always get off. You can always get off at the next stop and get back onto the train that is actually dealing in actual reality. It is amazing to me as an investigative journalist that the facts, just like in our opinionated pieces in the news, where we can't tell the difference between opinion and fact. No one cares about what actually happens. What actually happens is really kind of boring. It's like the World Economic Forum. What happens there is absolutely, absolutely important. These are the investors and the CEOs who are getting together to fund the next 6 months to a year. All the shenanigans that come along with it and all the agendas that go along with it. All the stuff you're going to be seeing popping up. That's where all the deals are made, and that's where the money exchanges hands. It's not as sensational as Bilderberg. And it doesn't have a group of people standing outside with bullhorns yelling out. And it doesn't have Nazis. And it doesn't have a weird backstory that is just really interesting, that appeals to some deep-rooted emotional part of us. It's just a bunch of CEOs getting together and making handshakes and making deals and writing checks for each other. Not really much to report on, except if you listen to what they say and you write it down, like I did in an article, and then you pay attention to what's going to happen over the next 12 months, you'll see things start to pop up. In fact, we're seeing it right now. In California, there is a state senator who is screaming for carbon taxes on gasoline, because people use gasoline and it's contributing to CO2 in our atmosphere, which, according to them, is causing global warming. So if they tax at the gas pump, put the carbon tax at the gas pump, people will be less likely to use their cars. Well, that suits people like, or corporations like, I'm sorry, corporations are not people, Toyota, Nissan, Google. What these corporations have in common is that they are developing technology for driverless cars, and not somewhere in the distant future, 2015. They already have models that they've shown at car shows, and they have working models. I'm not talking about concept cars. I'm talking about actual working models. And they are working on a fleet that will be available for purchase to the customer on the production line now, purchase for the customer in 2015. What does that mean? That means that the senator from California, who right now is laying down the foundation for establishing a carbon tax, is justifying what's going to happen next year when they start releasing these driverless cars, because it will become a moot point. You won't be driving the car. The car will be driving itself. Well, then you're going to say to me, okay, well, the gasoline is still in play. Absolutely it is. We don't have cars that are completely gasoline-free. Even the electric cars still use gasoline. But aha, they are working on that. Right now, Audi has a driverless car that is completely electric, and they're rolling that out in 2015. And they are investing millions of dollars in stations all across the country. In fact, they've been doing this for the last couple of years, building these stations where you can plug your car in and charge it and keep going. Now, the problem that they have right now is these cars are only good for 300 miles. And the distance between the charging stations is more than 300 miles. So what they've been doing is building more and more and more. And if you go on their website and you look at this electric car, you'll see that they have a map where they've been building these stations over the last couple of years. Next year, the entire continental United States is almost completely unnoticeable underneath all of these little red icons where these charging stations will be. What does that mean? That means that there's less space, there's less mileage between charging your car and having another station to charge it at. It's facilitating getting you out of control of your vehicle. And if it's not running on petrol, then they don't have to worry about you spending money on gas. Now, the good part is you wouldn't have to worry about the gas and the carbon tax on your gasoline at the pump. But if you're going for power and you're going for control, you're going to take away people's base ability to take care of themselves. In Surat, India, they have smart buildings that are so smart that they will turn off your electricity, your water, and even your ability for sewage if you owe any money. The building will shut you off if you're behind on your utilities bills or whatever the building is designed to monitor. And the whole building is computerized. And people live basically in a computer. And they are subject to the computer system. Right now, IBM and AT&T are putting together the groundwork for smart cities across the United States. And they are coming together in an initiative to design these smart cities. IBM is going to put together the servers that would be needed. AT&T is putting together the software to integrate these digital solutions into cities' infrastructure. They're saying that they need to improve urban planning and reduce costs. And they're doing that by putting everything under the control of a computer. And who owns the fiber optic cables? Because let me tell you, folks, if you start your digital communication from your phone and it has to end up to a computer screen at your friend's house, it's got to transfer somehow. And in that mix are fiber optic cables, even if it's a Wi-Fi connection. Fiber optic cables are the go-between. They control whether or not your information, your digital information, gets from point A to point B. And guess who owns those? Google. Google is buying up fiber optic cables like it's going out of style. And they're doing that because with AT&T and IBM creating the Global Solution Center all over the world, and then AT&T building the M2M foundries in Texas, where this is all going to be based, they are going to implement intelligent retail cabinets, enable targeted digital advertising, allegedly reduce energy cost and consumption, which probably means you just don't have access to it, thereby it is reducing your cost, and it does reduce your consumption.
Well, I think it's all about control. You know, again, we're talking about psychopaths. What do they all crave? Power and control. Hey, hold on a second. Aren't they capable of digitizing their power and control over other people so that you're never actually dealing with a scumbag who you can expose and maybe emotionally blackmail or fight back against or that kind of thing? It's actually just a machine doing everything to you, telling you what to say, telling you where to go, all of that kind of thing. It's like, I don't know, it's like GPS for your country. Slow turn left. Wait, isn't that towards communism? Keep going left. 200 meters. Boom!
Absolutely. Yeah. Right now in Alabama, now here in the United States since 2005, we have the Real ID Act, and that is the national RFID chip cards. And so all states are supposed to be in compliance, and there's a handful that isn't. The list of compliant states is much longer, and that's what disturbs me. Alabama just came out with their STAR ID, which is their response to the Real ID Act. And it has a computer chip in the driver's license or state ID that's issued. And they're doing this because they want to improve the integrity and security of state-issued driver's licenses and identification cards, which in turn, of course, Vinny, helps fight terrorism.
Yeah, what's the definition of terrorism again? Where's my dictionary? Oh, here we are. It's a system of government that terrorizes its citizens into doing what the government wants. That makes a hell of a lot more sense all of a sudden, doesn't it?
It really does. There was a study that was done late last year, and I reported on this. During the Boston bombing and the 2 weeks after, these scientists got together, the University of New York, I believe it was, and studied all of the coverage of it over all media and sent out questionnaires to the audience members asking them how they feel about it. And what they deduced was people who watched the coverage were more psychologically affected than the people who were actually at the incident, at the bombing, and may have even gotten hurt. So just by watching, just by hearing about, just by the coverage in media, the saturation, you are more likely to be affected psychologically by an incident than if you were there. What does that mean? That means that they don't have to actually do anything. They just have to threaten it. And just by threatening it, you are sucked in and affected psychologically. And at that point, you're a lifetime customer. If they give you a solution, you're going to do it. If they say, hey, we need RFID chips in driver's licenses and state IDs to protect you from terrorism, remember what happened in the Boston bombing? You don't want that again, do you? Does that sound familiar, folks? Because most parents should be shaking their heads. That's the same tactics that you use with children. You're going to clean up this room or you're not going to that sleepover. It's the same tactic. You don't have to actually follow through with your threat if you have conditioned your child to be affected by the threat itself. And what the media is doing in conjunction with the powers that be, and it's not just government, it's also corporations and CEOs and all those other fun guys that we love so much. And they are giving you a scenario and terrorizing you with it. So if they want to protect us against terrorism, then they should just leave us alone. But they've got us RFID chipped. They've got us wearing the RFID chips. And since I'm talking about it, I want to go into an article, one of the articles at least that I wrote about it. It's trendy jewelry. Okay. It's in cuff bracelets. It's a cufflink is a company that is designing both male and female bracelets, chains, necklaces. They're all with computerized components that use Bluetooth technology to connect the jewelry to your smartphone and then to wherever else it needs to go. They don't need to inject it into you. You're going to buy it and you're going to wear it because it's going to be cool. And it's going to monitor your heart rate like all these smartwatches. And it's going to take care of you and make you feel better. And it's going to tell your doctor what's wrong with you so your doctor can better take care of you. And this is all for your own good. And don't you feel safer, Vinny, knowing that not just your government, but your clothing and your accessories love you and take such good care of you?
I don't know about that.
it's like, who do I want to take care of me for my entire life? You know, there's a reason why I don't live with my mother anymore. Because I can take care of my frickin' self. What's everybody else's excuse? Eh? Why are they looking for the government to save them? Why are they looking for somebody else to come and solve all their problems and run their frickin' lives and what have you? Have you not moved out of your mother's house yet, bro? Come on! Am I right?
Suzanne? I believe so. You know, if you're still living in your parents' basement, there's a problem. I can't help you, and I don't even know how to begin, but maybe there's a counselor or a friend that you can talk to motivate you. But this goes back to what I was saying before. We have such low self-esteem. We don't believe that we are worth what we think we are. And when we're in the crowd and when we're in the group and we're having a rah-rah session, we feel that emotion and we get all pumped up. But when it comes down to it, when we're at the store and we're deciding whether or not we want to buy processed food or natural food, we pick up the processed food and put it in our cart. So what we think and what we do and what we say obviously don't correlate. But we know that. We live with ourselves. When we're in the group and we're having a rah-rah session, we can tell those people whatever we want. And they'll believe us because nobody ever questions authority. You ever notice that, Vinny? Nobody questions authority of any level?
I wouldn't say nobody, but the vast majority certainly don't.
And if they do question authority, they have to...
The authority comes down on them like a ton of frickin' bricks, and then it applies negative association with resisting authority, and so they stop doing it, and then the authority winds up in control of everything that they do, including what they think and what they say.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. So you have cufflink you can buy, and if you've got a Bluetooth, you can wear it, and it'll talk to your smartphone. It's wearable health and biometric devices. It's small wireless computers in your appliances. It's stylish bowl-shaped mobile phone chargers. I mean, this stuff looks really good. When you go and look at this on a search engine and put it in the images, and you'll see this stuff looks great. I think it looks cool, but am I going to buy it? No. I know what it's capable of. These smartwatches are equipped with geofencing, which alerts parents to children who have walked off. And the reason why they have this apparatus, this little device, is because a child got out of he was a special needs, I believe he was autistic, and he got out of his school. He walked right out of the classroom, down the hall, and somebody at the school had left a back door open, which one of those doors, one of those big doors that if you had opened it, the alarm would have gotten off. But because it was already open, the alarm didn't go off, and the kid got out, and he was abducted, and he was subsequently murdered. So because of this, they are now pushing for these geofencing smartwatches so your child can be low-jacked and geolocated just like your parents, just like grandma who's got Alzheimer's, who wanders off. We got to get her wearing her bracelet so that we can geolocate her and make sure she's okay. And the unfortunate thing is this little boy is dead. That really did happen. He's dead. And unfortunately, the powers that be take this horrible incident and twist it into the nanny state. So now everybody, it's just like if you have more than one kid. I remember I have a younger brother. And if neither of us wanted to own up to why the vase was broken, well, we both got in trouble. And sometimes my mother would say, well, I don't know. I didn't see who did it. So I'm going to punish both of you and you guys work it out amongst yourselves. If either of you want to come clean and be honest, then I'll end the joint punishment and only punish the one. Because, and they do this tactic in the military too, in boot camp. They'll punish the entire troop because they want no one to have loyalty to anyone but the apparatus. They'll even turn in a troop amongst themselves because it facilitates the need of the military more than the need of the individual. And if you are going to become assimilated into something else, you have to become a new person with new thoughts and new feelings. And there cannot be any individuality left in you. So because this poor child died, now we have to low-jack all of our children. We have to make them wear bracelets. They've got Microsoft. You're going to love this one, Vinny. Microsoft designed a smart bra that will monitor women's health by tracking their heart rate, their emotional state, and monitor how much they eat. And the bra will send signals to the woman's smartphone. And so the smartphone will caution them if they're making a bad food choice. Can you believe this one?
That reminds me of, what was it? There was a high school in the United States that banned children from having packed lunches.
Yes. Because the parents don't know what the kids need. You know, the school does. You know, Michelle Obama put out an initiative with her Let's Move campaign. And in all of these public schools, she's concerned about caloric intake. And what she proposed and what some schools implemented, and thank God these students were smart enough to protest because they won their stance. These are children, okay? Their bodies are growing. They need food. They go through growth spurts where they eat a lot of food. They go through growth spurts where they crave certain foods. Why? Because their body needs it. It's like when I was pregnant with my children, I had certain cravings. I didn't have like the pickles and ice cream craving or anything weird, but I would really want to eat asparagus, or I would really want to eat a salad, or I'd really I ate grapes every single day with my daughter. I don't know what it was, red grapes. Every single day with my daughter. Now, she happens to really like red grapes, so maybe there's a correlation there. But there's something in the nutrients that my body wanted, and so if I give it to my body, it goes to my daughter, and everybody's happy. When the children are in school all day, and they need brain power, and they're doing physical education, they need more food. Michelle Obama's answer to that is to cut the caloric intake, cut the portion size, and give the kids half of what recommended dosage for calories per day during school hours, which means you're going to have kids who don't have the ability to pay attention. They're lethargic. They fall asleep. They're irritable. Well, if you're just going on symptoms, like most of the medical community does, then you're going to start recommending that this child be put on a mood stabilizer, when really the child's hungry. Most of us don't realize that we are dehydrated. And if you, as a rule of thumb, when you're hungry, get out a glass, a full glass, fill it up halfway at least, and drink a glass of water. If you're still hungry, then eat. Most of the time when you're hungry, you're actually thirsty. You're dehydrated. These children cannot be asked to make important decisions like paying attention to their education, even if it is Common Core, even if it is screwed up. They're not even paying attention to that. They can't because they're hungry. This is how they are changing the way that our entire world is structured. And it sort of kind of makes sense if you think about it. Kellogg's and a bunch of other groups, food processing corporations, came out and supported Michelle Obama. And they said, hey, we're going to cut the caloric intake in our food by 75%. Now, that sounds great because they're processed foods. It's GMO. It's corn syrup. If it's cutting calories, that's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, that's why we gain weight, right? Never mind the studies that show that all of the chemicals screw around with our metabolism, and that's what causes us to gain weight.
Well, and also on top of that, you have all the artificial sweeteners and whatnot, which mimic the sweetness of sugar. And when your mouth tastes the flavor of sugar, it actually begins to crave the energy that is usually contained within it. So what you'll find is people who are eating fat-free, sugar-free kind of stuff, you'll find that they start eating a hell of a lot more than they normally should, because their body is absolutely calling out for that sugar and energy that it was manipulated into thinking it was getting in the first place.
Yes, it's a neurotoxin. Absolutely. To elaborate on what you said, you drink some Diet Coke and the aspartame starts sparkling in your brain and setting off all of these firings. It's an electrical, it's like a fireworks show in your brain. And your brain says, oh, wow, this is really good food. Your stomach says, I don't have anything. I just have this liquid. The brain says, no, there's food. I see it. Because your brain works on glucose, sugar, okay? Your brain says, no, it's here. The stomach says, no, it's not. The brain says, okay, we'll keep consuming. We'll consume until we actually have something that you can break down and use in the rest of the body. And that's why they overeat. And now what it translates to on the topical surface in the person's mind is, hey, I just had a Diet Coke. I can go ahead and have 4 or 10 pieces of pizza because I just had a Diet Coke. I can have the fast food because I just drank a Diet Coke. It'll offset. No, it won't offset. It is a restructuring of our neural net and our biological chemical makeup that is creating false identifiers in our body. And when our body doesn't see what it needs, it'll either start eating itself, which is called starvation, or, and by the way, that's the theory behind lap band surgery and gastric bypass surgery, that your body has accumulated all of this fat and stored it. And so if you starve the body at a certain point that is not allegedly detrimental, then your body will start to eat itself and you'll lose the weight. Well, I've had a friend just 2 years ago die from lap band surgery. She had a potassium deficiency because after the surgery, it screwed up her chemical makeup so much, having this reworking in her body, that she couldn't process food and she died of a potassium deficiency. And literally, she wasted away to nothing, and one day she took a nap and never woke up, and she was 26 years old. She lost the weight. She was very, very light when she died. But unfortunately, she's not here, and she was a wonderful person. And she's not here anymore because of all the garbage that they put in our food that screwed up with her brain, because of all of the imaging that we put out there in the media that told her that she had to look a certain way, otherwise she was worthless. And she bought every single idea, every product that they put in front of her. She bought it, and it killed her at 26 years old. And that is what we have to look forward to. If you're lucky and you live a little bit longer, great. But that's what they're aiming for. They're going to get you on the way in because they're going to sell you the GMO and the processed food and all the chemicals in it. And they're going to get you on the way out because they're going to sell you the chemotherapy and all of the pharmaceutical drugs that are just eating away at your pocketbook while you're slowly dying, taking care of symptoms while the actual problem is killing you.
And they actually can make quite a lot of money off of killing you while making you think that they're solving a problem, can't they? I think it's kind of like the same philosophy behind chemotherapy. Hey, how many people survive chemotherapy? Like 3%. Are you telling me that it actually kills 97% of the people you give it to? Who said that? The Australian Medical Association studies? I mean... But how come you're still giving it to everybody after you know that it kills 97% of people?
Well, because we're owned by the Rockefellers and we get like about $50,000 of everybody's taxpayer money on the socialist healthcare system in order to profit the Rockefellers and kill the person that's getting the treatment.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes a hell of a lot of sense. You know, I'll shut up now.
Well, researchers came out this past week and they did a study. I always love these studies. They said that the chemicals that have been identified in food and packaging and processing are not harmful to humans, and that claim is causing concern, undue concern, in the general public. And the toxins that they were talking about were formaldehyde, bisphenol A, phthalates, and two words that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. But let me tell you what this stuff does. And they say that we're exaggerating, okay? People like you and I, we're exaggerating. These chemicals are okay, except they cause harmful effects in cumulative exposure. That means a little bit over time, builds and builds and builds. You ever notice the cancer, all of a sudden, you've got tumors? Nobody noticed when you were developing the tumors because they don't pay attention to that. All of a sudden, you've got tumors. The cancer didn't just come out of nowhere. It's just nobody's paying attention to the problem. They're masking the symptoms. They're giving you things that take away the symptoms so you don't notice that you're dying of cancer. So BPA has been shown through studies and linked to disorders and diseases, including breast cancer, prostate cancer, infertility, early puberty, neurological disorders, and immune system compromises. That answers a lot of questions when it comes to disease, BPA. Phthalates, which are a banned toxin in the United States, it is a cause of major diseases and conditions. And it can be found in shampoo, hairspray, soap, detergents, raincoats, perfumes, plastic products, even building materials, even your vinyl flooring and your feet. Your feet are extremely porous. So you're walking around barefoot on your floor. You have no idea that it's leaching into your body and it's killing you. According to the National Cancer Institute, formaldehyde is a known carcinogen and it is present in pressed wood products, cigarette smoke, and fuel-burning substances. Previous studies have shown that formaldehyde, whether it's long-term or high exposure, causes leukemia, lymphatic cancer, blood and bone marrow diseases, and brain cancer. And this is in our food. This is in our packaging. This is in the processing of the food that we're eating.
We have a toxic food supply, toxic air supply. The land's starting to get toxic itself, you know, the chemtrail aluminium contamination and what have you. Now, it occurs to me that if you've got an incredibly toxic environment, what's going to happen to people's minds? The people who live within that environment, well, they'll become pretty frickin' toxic as well, won't they? What about their bodies? Well, that will become pretty frickin' toxic as well. What about the politics that rule all the nation and what have you? Same thing, isn't it? How do you get rid of toxicity? By limiting your exposure to contamination. I think that's about as good as you can get, which if anybody's anywhere near Fukushima, it might be a good idea to get the hell out of there. The other element here as well is, what are you actually willing to give up? You know, I mean, what will it take you to understand this concept? And what if I told you that in order to understand how toxic things are, everything, including yourself, it will destroy most of the things you enjoy in your life in order to do so? What then? Would you still wish to understand? Would you still wish to comprehend? Many will not. And it will only be the strongest and the most courageous of us that will.
Those of us who are not buying the products anymore, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier in the broadcast, those of us who recognize the marketing and we're not buying the product, whether it is a physical object or an idea or a concept or a philosophy, whatever, a person, if we're not buying the product anymore, then we are able to make conscious decisions. We are not reacting to the world around us. We are acting upon the information that we have. We are able to discern. We are able to logically think, regardless of the chemicals that are impeding that ability, because we are consciously taking a step back and saying, that makes me feel a certain way. Why does it make me feel that way? Is it its intention to make me feel that way? And what would the consequence of my actions be if I choose to go along with this agenda? See, this is critical thinking. And this will save us from everything that's going on around us. It's real simple, folks. It's not complicated. It does require your effort. It does require your participation and taking care of responsibility for what you do and how you participate. And then it all starts to fall apart. If we're going to take the idea that they've given us of the pyramid, then it is obvious that you and I are at the bottom of the pyramid. So unless they're using anti-gravity technology, the pyramid is going to fall if the bottom pieces or the bottom bricks come out. Now, nothing that we've done so far is effectual, except small pockets of groups of people who have decided that they are not going to participate in the tyranny. Let me give you an example. A 15-year-old girl drinking her Gatorade realizes that there's flame retardant in her Gatorade. She says to her mother, "Oh my God, mommy, did you know that there is flame retardant in my Gatorade?" Mom says, "I didn't know. I'm so sorry I gave that to you." She says, "That's not enough, mom, even though I understand that you didn't know. Everyone should know." She wrote to Pepsi. They basically gave her a snub. So the 15-year-old girl went online and started a petition and had 150 signatures. And then she took that back to Pepsi and said, "I've got 150 people who are willing to boycott you. Take it out." And guess what? They are taking it out. Now, some people will say, well, that's not enough because, you know, they're phasing it out and it's going to take some time and they're taking the scenic route to it. Okay. What are you doing that's effectual? What are you doing that's actually affecting change? Because a 15-year-old who didn't like what was happening to her and didn't like the fact that her mother, who loves her so much, was duped into giving her poison, went and got other people who feel the same way and got them to sign off and agree that this has to stop. And because of that initiative, it is now stopping. The March Against Monsanto is effective in awareness. We need to know that this stuff is there, because otherwise we won't think back. It's like the parabens in your shampoo and conditioner and most of your toiletries. All of those scrubbing micro beads that are in your body wash and your facial wash, that's where the parabens are. Did you know that when they biopsy tumors in breasts, and also there's a high incident of breast cancer in males? So folks, male or female, pay attention. It's 99% paraben when they do the biopsy. Obviously, nobody's going to think back when their daughter comes to them at 42 years old and says, "Mom, I have breast cancer." The mother is not going to go back and think about all those times that she washed her daughter's hair in Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo. That's what caused the parabens to leach into her daughter's body and kill and potentially kill her and cause her to go through unnecessary surgery, unnecessary because it never should have happened, because the chemical should have never been in the Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo. It never needed to occur. But because Johnson & Johnson is also a pharmaceutical company, they're making money off of both sides of it. They put the chemical in, and you think, Johnson & Johnson, no more tears. I love my daughter. I'm going to wash her hair with this. It's going to help her. Meanwhile, at 42, she's going to tell you that she has breast cancer. And people don't put two and two together, because it happened. I mean, there's a lot of years between 6 and 42. So people forget. They don't realize that the food that you're eating is causing the cumulative damage that will then manifest into something really, really scary after 20, 30 years of consuming this. And that is the reason why you're dying. It's not because you didn't take care of yourself. You didn't know any better. You thought you were. It's the chemicals that they're putting in the food, the all natural. This is marketing. Food that is healthy for you does not come in a package. Ooh. And it doesn't come with a commercial either.
Yeah, yeah. And wasn't there just Monsanto wants to label its GMO foods as natural or something like that? Did you hear about that?
I wrote an article about the labeling situation. The corporations want to get together and write their own rules for labeling. And so they are pressuring the FDA, which, you know, that's all smoke and mirrors. They want to write the rules that the FDA is going to use. And it's a voluntary mandate, which is an oxymoron in itself, because you can't mandate something if it's voluntary. This means, and did you know that because of the way that the rules and regulations are written even now, that there's stuff in your food that doesn't make it on the backside of the label because it's not part of the things that they have to label? So seriously, folks, God only knows what's in your food. You don't have the whole story just because you turned around and read the back of the label and you saw some words that you can't pronounce. There's more in there that they don't even have to divulge. Good food comes from your local farmer. Good food comes from your local rancher.
Yeah.
Get to know these people. Good food comes from your farmer's market. And please, for the love of God, folks, farmer's markets are a trendy way for the city to make money. Don't force your farmer to waste his money paying for a slot at the farmer's market just so he can sell you products for less money than it took for him to produce so that he could possibly stay in business. Buy a CSA box, community supported agriculture. You might have to shell out $200 or $300 or $400 up front. And hey, look, gathering up that much money right now, I know it's difficult. It's difficult for all of us. But throughout the year, you're going to give that farmer an influx of money that's going to help him pay his bills throughout the year. And then every week or every 2 weeks or however the agreement is, you're going to get a box of fresh food. And some of these community-supported agriculture boxes is not just the farmers. When you think of farmers, you think of fruits and vegetables. It's also the ranchers. You might get some milk and cheese and meats, breads, and other, maybe even some organically processed canned goods like jelly and processed salsa. I've seen that in the box as well. This is a great way that you can take all of that money that you would be spending at the grocery stores and the big box stores and just collect it all up. It's wintertime. Collect it all up. And if you can't afford it, when the spring comes and the early summer and they start opening the farmers markets, go down there and see if you can sign up for a CSA box and get that food for the rest of the season. It's worth it. Because you know what's in that food. You can go to the farmer and talk to him. I mean, I've done this several times. I used to work on an organic farm. I knew a lot of farmers back then, but I still do this. When we moved out to Port Orchard, we were lucky. There's a lot of dairy farmers and there's a lot of local butchers and farmers that grow fruits and vegetables. You go out there and you'd be amazed, folks. If you go out there for a Saturday afternoon and you say, hey, if I help you guys work the field for a little bit and you can teach my children how to grow food and what's the best way to use organic means of pesticides, using neem or using beneficial bugs, and give your kids a little bit of an education and a little bit of self-esteem by teaching them how to be self-sustaining. And then on top of it, at the end of the day, you're more likely to get a box of fruits and vegetables to take home with you as a thank you. Why? Because we're taking care of each other. We're showing each other that we care about what goes into our food. And you can get to know the farmer. You can ask them questions about how they take care of, if it's a rancher, how they take care of their animals, how they take care of their chickens, how the farmer tills the soil. And you get a complete education here while getting good food, while supporting your local farmer, while making sure that the big agra doesn't get a hold of that one guy. See, if we focus in on these small guys in our local community and keep them in business, you know what that means? That means that more and more small guys are in business. And less small guys are going out of business. That means that more of the small guys can end up going back into business. So again, if you don't participate in the tyranny by not falling for the marketing, if you make a conscious decision instead of reacting and participating in the Hegelian dialectic, you can make informed decisions that will actually change to our benefit, not theirs, but actually affect change in our world. It's a choice. We've got time. In fact, we've got an infinite amount of time, because the best part about this idea is it can start at any moment. It doesn't have to wait till Monday morning. You don't have to say, you know, I'm going to lose weight next summer or whatever. You can do this right now.
Yeah.
You can make a conscious decision right now.
I was. I recall I spoke at the David Icke conference when he came to New Zealand. And that's something I said to the crowd. If you haven't, you know, activated yourself, if you haven't gone out there and started to expose scumbaggery on your own yet, and what have you, I can assure you that as soon as you start doing it, as soon as you make that decision to do it, it's the perfect time for you.
It builds your self-esteem. It reminds you that you always had that control that you thought somebody else had. And that you don't need to protest, because protesting is begging for something that you already have because you think that other guy's got it. You always had the right to hang up the phone. If you don't remember everything that I've said in the 3 hours, remember certain things. There's a slogan for every marketing product or product that's being marketed. An idea whose time has come. You always had the right to hang up the phone. You do not have to participate in anything. And I don't care what the other guy says. And that includes an argument. You know, we live on social media. It's unfortunate, because 90% of our communication is body language. And we've stopped, we put a blanket or a brick wall over our ability to properly communicate with each other. But when we can't physically see each other, immediately look for tonality. And we look to see what the tone is. So we listen to the voice. You're listening to my voice right now. And you're hearing that throughout this entire broadcast, I have been giving you information, behind the scenes information, that will help you actually affect real change, that will help you shift from being under the spell of the marketing and the Hegelian dialectic that's happening in big ways and in very, very small ways. And if you try anything that I've said throughout this broadcast, just try it. What are you going to lose? You could gain your self-esteem back and be able to stand up for yourself and stop participating in the global tyranny. Or you can go as business as usual, because, hey, it feeds into that part of you that is disenfranchised. And as long as you're complaining about the problem, the people who are creating the problem can continue to create it. And the people who are making money off of the complaining about the problem can continue to do so as well. And so the cycle of marketing and advertising and marketing and investing is complete.
It's like the emperor, you know?
Strike me down with it. And your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
Absolutely. It is. And it's so, so simple. Like little phrases, like they do it in plain sight. They do it in plain sight. They do it right in front of you.
Like 9/11.
Yes, they do.
They not only did it in plain sight, but they actually used planes to do it, which I thought was quite amusing. Okay, well, Suzanne, we're almost at the end of the broadcast. Have you got any points you'd like to wrap up and what have you before we close off the show for today?
Support Vinny's show. Support real independent media. I appreciate everyone who agrees with me and has decided to contribute to the U.S. Independent, that there must be at least one place, and I'm not saying I'm the only one, but there needs to be an independent, integral, journalistic media house that is interested in presenting information that keeps the audience informed, keeps them from reacting, so that we can effect real change in our world. And Vinny is a part of that. And what Vinny does independently is tremendous. And what he contributes to the USI, I am absolutely grateful for. And Dr. Rima Libo and my good friend Thomas Sheridan and Dane Wigington and Charlotte Iserby and Kevin Galaley, these people know what they're talking about. And they have decided that they are not going to participate in the tyranny anymore. They don't fall for the marketing. And in my opinion, those people are 10 steps ahead. And so if you want to be where they are, a free independent thinker who is actually affecting change and working toward the goal of restoring our sovereignty, not just domestically here in the United States, but all over the world, make sure that the Ukrainian people actually get what they really want, which is their own sovereignty and their right to it. Please support the people on the U.S. Independent. They have their own websites. They have their own stuff that's going on. Go to see them. Support their sponsors. Support Vinny's sponsors, because this is the only way. When the media implodes, and we're watching many, many facets of media implode as we speak, the best part about that is the people who are actually integral and are doing honest journalistic work will still be around when all the smoke clears. Let's help each other now.
Yeah, I completely agree. Help me, ladies and gentlemen. and help all the people that are actually exposing a bit of scumbaggery, because Lord knows the mainstream media ain't going to do it for you, and nor are your governments going to do it for you. You know, it's all very well to complain about something, but I'll tell you what. Do something better than just complain. Be part of the frickin' solution. Thank you very much for listening. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com for this show and many other archives and whatnot as well. And of course, please set up an automatic payment of only just a few dollars a month to keep financing this little operation, by which we can actually contribute to the solution, and you can be part of it. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Suzanne, at theusindependent.com. And we will see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, assuredly.
You are the only exception. You are the only exception. You